This call is being recorded by the meeting organizer. By staying on the call, you are giving your consent to being recorded.
Okay, good morning. Is the court reporter all right? I'm Mr. Corrales. You're the court reporter? Is the court reporter all right?
Yeah, I am Bassam Abu Moela.
And the court reporter is here. I had no need, sorry.
Thank you. Okay, good morning, everyone. This is Dr. Anthony Spivey, Executive Director of the Board. And we're going to start the meeting. I will start the meeting by doing a roll call first. Ms. Carleen Van Sicklin?
Here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Linda Valdez?
Here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Dr. Michelle Morgan?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm well. Thank you. Okay.
And Dr. Beatrice Montoya?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Mr. Stephen Shelfer?
Present.
And Dr. Yvette McCarter?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. And Ms. Dr. McCarter is our newest board member, and I would welcome you to our board.
Thank you.
Okay. Is the board counsel on? Ms. Deborah Louth?
I'm here.
And Ms. Deborah Louth, I'm asking, is the board counsel on?
I am.
Okay. Thank you. And this is Dr. Anthony Spivey, the Executive Director for the board meeting. And in the room with me, I have the staff, Ms. Gail Curry, our Program Operations Administrator, which you have not yet met. She's the newest individual that's taken over position from Joe Lesho. And also in the room, and I'm probably going to forget some names, Ms. Sabata Knight, our Regulatory Supervisor Consultant, Ms. Kelly Wood, and Mr. Austin Fletcher. And before we start the meeting, I want to advise everyone this is a rather large agenda. We have a lot of participants on the line to meet their cases and I'll talk with you about them. And also, for the purpose of the court reporter, I'd ask that everyone speak only one person at a time because the court reporter cannot do an accurate reporting if everyone is speaking together. So whenever you do speak, I would ask that you also identify yourself so that the court reporter can have an accurate accounting of the record as to who is saying what. And with that, I will hand the meeting over to the board chair, Ms. Carleen Van Sicklin.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Board of Clinical Laboratory Personnel meeting.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So have the board members reviewed the minutes of the March 4th meeting in Orlando?
Yes, this is Linda Valdez. I have a correction on page 5. My last name is misspelled twice.
Thank you for that correction. Are there any other corrections that need to be made? Then I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes as amended.
Second, Ms. Valdez, I second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay, next we'll move on to the petitions. And the first one is Dr. Abimolek, present?
Yes, I'm present.
Okay. His application or waiver can be found on page 55 of the agenda.
This is Deborah Lab, so I just want to advise the board that pursuant to Chapter 120.542, and this applies to all the variances and waivers that are on your agenda, the statute says that variances and waivers shall be granted when the person who is subject to the rule demonstrates that the purpose of the underlying statute will be or has been achieved by other means by the person, and when application of a rule would create a substantial hardship or violate some of the principles of fairness. For the purposes of the statute, substantial hardship means a demonstrated economic, technological, legal, or other type of hardship to the person requesting the variance or waiver. And for the purposes of the statute, principles of fairness are violated when the literal application of a rule affects a particular person in a manner significantly different from the way it affects other similarly situated persons who are subject to the rule. I will let Dr. Abdul-Malik speak, but basically he is asking the board to waive the 3 years experience that's required for a technologist license level. He did submit some information regarding his experience, and he is available to answer any questions you have regarding the experience as well.
Dr. Abdul-Malik, would you like to address the board?
If you want me to talk, of course I can start talking.
So can you just share with us what your work experience is and if you hold national certification in microbiology?
Thank you. First of all, thank you very much for giving me this chance to talk to you today. And my name is Dr. Bassam Abdul-Malik, and I am a PhD scientist in microbiology and microbiology of infectious diseases. And I have two
Madam Chair, this is Michelle Morgan. It's difficult to hear because there's a lot of background noise with unmuted lines. Could you address that, please?
Yes. Can we ask all the applicants, if they're not speaking, to please put your phones on mute? Thank you. I apologize for that, Dr. Amolet. Can you proceed, please?
Yes, I am a PhD scientist, and I have two bachelor degrees in molecular in microbiology and cellular biology. I have master's and PhD in microbiology, and I have more than 20 years academic experience in microbiology all around the world, in Europe, in Canada, and the United States. I am accomplished scientist in my field, and that's why I'm asking for the training experience or the training requirement to be waived for this decision.
Do the board members have any questions?
This is Linda Valdez. Your applications for general lists for all five areas, not just micro, correct? That's what I see on page 81.
Yes, I am applying for MedTech license and.
I'm sorry. This is Deborah Lau. I don't believe that Dr. Abdul-Malik has an application yet. Have you? Because the one that's on page 81 is not here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong thing. My apologies.
I think he just filed the petition, and either his application isn't before you with the petition yet, or he's filed the petition before he submitted the application. But if you grant this waiver, it would apply. I mean, you could put a time period on it, so then he could submit his application, and then that experience would be waived. But if you want to limit it to only certain specialties, you could do that as well.
Okay, can I add something, please?
Yes, please.
I tried a few months back to apply to put an application, but they asked me not to do that. They asked me to apply for the waiver first, and if it's approved, I can submit an application. That's why I didn't go ahead and submit an application.
And this is Deborah, and that's fine. It's just procedurally, it's a little bit different from when we have the waivers with the applications. Yeah, basically, it's fine that it was done that way. I just wanted to make sure that we were looking at the right person.
Yeah, thank you.
And this is Carlene Van Sicklin. Do you meet the qualifications for a technologist license in molecular, since it does not require a training program?
Yes, of course, because I work more than 20 years in microbiology and different labs in academia. I do culturing, all kinds of, you know, we do a next generation of sequencing, the cloning, you know, everything, you know, I explain everything in my CV, and I think I meet this criteria.
Do any of the other board members have questions for the applicant, for Dr. Abel Malek?
This is Yasir Montoya. He has certification in molecular or microbiology by any agency?
No, I didn't. No. Was in the academia. Last year I joined Orlando Health, and our lab is a clear certified lab for microbiology. But in a clinical field, I work a research, so I developed that diagnostic test, our lab for the mid to carry it.
And this is Delalaz. Again, his waiver is just to waive the experience requirement. If you approve the waiver and he submits an application, he's still going to have to meet the education and certification requirements. This waiver doesn't have anything, it doesn't address that at all. So you're not approving, if you approve the waiver today, you're not approving him for licensure because he doesn't have the application. You're just saying that you'll accept his training and experience. And again, as I said, if you want to limit it to certain specialties, you can certainly do that. If he submits an application and has other specialty areas, then that would have to be addressed along with his application.
This is Carlene Van Sicklin, and I motion to grant the petition of waiver for the areas of microbiology and molecular only.
I'm sorry, this is Linda Valdez. I couldn't speak quick enough. The issue with molecular, with that, again, we're not discussing an application, so. With molecular, though, that would allow for all five areas that perform molecular, not just micro. Because with micro, he can do all molecular micro tests.
Correct.
So if we're saying if we're saying molecular also, then we're allowing for all five areas that perform, that might be being done using molecular techniques.
I guess, if he applies for a license as a technologist in molecular, the technologist license in molecular does not require a training program. So,
okay, I was just clarifying that if we are adding molecular, then.
So do you think it should only be microbiology? Is that your concern?
Yes, because even with microbiology, he can still perform microbiology tests that just tend that are using molecular techniques. So that comes, you know, the microbiology will still cover the molecular piece, but only for microbiology.
Okay, so this is Carleen Van Sicklin. I'd like to amend my motion to grant the petition of waiver for the area of microbiology.
You got McCarter, I second that motion.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay.
Ms. Van Sicklin, this is Deborah. Did you want to put a time period that this waiver has been for example, like a year or something for him to submit his application?
Yes, please, in a year.
Okay, and if you could do that in the form of a motion just so that I have it.
I make the motion to grant the petition of waiver for a time period not to exceed 1 year.
Linda Valdez, I second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Thank you very much.
Dr. Alan Wallach, the board granted your waiver of the experience in the area of microbiology, and the waiver is good for a year, so your best thing to do would be to go ahead and submit your application. If there are any other issues with the application, then the application would have to come before the board. But if you meet all the other requirements for the technologist license in the area of microbiology, then the license will issue after the application has been processed.
Okay, okay. Thank you very much for that. So I have now to submit the application, and after that I will have the license.
Well, you need to meet the education and certification requirements for whatever, however you're applying for the technologist license. And since I don't know what that information is, and that's fine, you don't need to tell me. But the training piece of it, the board has granted you a waiver for the microbiology specialty. So if you meet the other requirements, then the license will be issued at that time.
Okay, so now I will go ahead and apply for the license.
And you'll get an order, and the board staff will have a copy of the order. So when your application comes in, they'll already have this waiver attached to it.
Okay, okay. So I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the variance waiver for Ms. Christina Ferguson. Are you present?
Yes, I am.
Okay. That can be found on page 65 of our agenda.
And board members, again, this is another petition for variance and waiver. I'm not going to read you the requirements for granting a petition for variance and waiver. But Ms. Ferguson is requesting a waiver from the 24 hours of academic science requirements. She has a Bachelor of Science degree in Healthcare Administration, and she's here to address any of your questions.
Do any of the board members have questions for Ms. Ferguson?
This is Michelle Morgan. I didn't find a transcript, showing the sciences, which would have made it easier to evaluate unless I missed it.
Hello? Are you still there?
Hello?
I'm on hold.
Can we have all the other applicants other than Ms. Ferguson please mute their phones?
I'm Alfredo Hernandez.
This is everyone. All of the applicants, we're going through all of the applicants on the agenda in order. So when your name is called, then you can unmute your phone. But with all these lines being open, it causes a lot of background noise and interference. So we can't hear the people that we're trying to hear. Ms. Morgan, in regards to your question, and maybe Dr. Ms. Ferguson can help us, it looks like the transcripts are in the confidential material, and we've got a transcript from Brevard Community College, one from Columbia Southern University. It's on page one through seven of the confidential material with the regular attendance.
Sorry, I do have that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do any of the board members have questions for Ms. Ferguson?
I don't have any for Ms. Ferguson. This is Michelle Morgan again, but I do believe that, from my understanding, the petition it sounds as though what's being requested based on the transcript, I look at the sciences that the applied sciences are basically being requested to be the general sciences or the, you know, bio and chemistry when they have the medical lab prefixes from the military. Am I figuring that?
And I would agree with that. I see that most of the science courses are applied science and not academic sciences, and that she would not meet the rule without the variance.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, I think based on the petition, the justification is that the program she went through had all those chemistry, biology, those types of courses as part of the program, you know, in an applied science fashion, and that's no different than other programs and other applicants that come before us. So I guess I didn't see an exceptional reason to grant this, unless someone else can help me.
And I concur. Most of this, the coursework
Yes, hi, this is Christina Ferguson. I have Eileen Skoll, my supervisor, office manager.
Yes, Christina, go ahead.
Christina's supervisor here, Eileen Skoll. I encouraged Ms. Ferguson to apply or reapply because of her past military experience being so close to normal civilian coursework to be certified as a medical technologist. Previously, she had applied in the past, being denied because of the coursework, but I had seen precedents that other people from the military coursework and experience has been petitioned and approved for the waiver of the coursework.
And this is Deborah Lox. We did have an applicant who did have some military training and experience that came and appeared before the board and presented more documentation other than just his military transcript for the board to review. I don't recall if all of the board members were present at that particular meeting, but Ms. Roll is correct. You have granted a waiver to at least one individual based off his particular military experience and the documentation that he provided to you.
Yes,
if there's a specific date that is needed. This is, you can find that previous case in the November 6, 2015 meeting minutes, section 4, for Mr.
Mr. James Harper, for the board members, yes.
Also for a supervisor waiver.
And again, board members, I will just tell you that in order to grant the petition for variance and waiver, the petitioner needs to show that the application of the rules to them, that they haven't met the purpose of the underlying statute by some other means, or that they're in a position that would create a significantly different hardship for them than anyone else that's in a similarly situated position.
This is Carlene Van Sicklin, and I motion to deny the petition for variance for failure to demonstrate that the rule affects her in a significantly different manner than it applies to other applicants for the supervisor's license.
Yes, Ms. Sicklin, I second that.
And this is Deborah. Ms. Van Sicklin, could you also address whether she has demonstrated to you that she's met the purpose of the underlying statute by some other means? Or is that, I'm sorry, maybe I'll just ask that one. Is that included in your reasons for denial?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
So there's a motion on the floor, and it's been seconded. Is there any discussion before I call for a vote? Okay, hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? So, Ms. Weston, can you please continue or share what the next steps for Ms. Ferguson would be?
Yes. You'll get an order on the denial of petition for variance and waiver that gives you rights that you can challenge the denial, or if you want to go back and see if what information Mr. Harper had presented to the board. You could certainly do that as well to see if there's some additional information that you could present at a future date. If you can do that, you could also ask for the board to reconsider the denial at a subsequent meeting.
This is Christina Ferguson. Okay, thank you for your time, and I look forward to hearing about the responses for further action.
Ms. Van Sicklin?
Yes.
This is Dr. Spivey. Just a minute before we start back. I just wanted to make another announcement to the individuals that are here signing on to the meeting now. If you are just signing on to the meeting, please put your phone in a mute mode, and we will get to you at your particular time point in the agenda, because if the phone is not muted, we don't hear all the background noise as well as the other people that are speaking, and it interferes with the court reporter. Thank you.
Thank you for addressing that. The next on the application on the agenda is Mr. Benjamin Witten. Are you present?
Yes, I am.
Okay. His variance and waiver can be found on page 71 in our agenda.
And board members, this is so Mr. Witten is asking for a waiver of the 3 years of experience. In his petition, he does indicate
the experience that he just and is trying to and is requesting that you accept the experience that he has in God's direction of the experience. And Mr. Whitten, this is you're speaking to the experience for a chemistry technologist. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
This is Charlene Van Sicklin. As I reviewed his transcripts, I voted 11 hours in chemistry and 7 hours in biology.
Just as a technologist, so you don't need to look at the science hours.
Okay.
Basically, I believe, Mr. Whitten, you have a bachelor's degree or higher, so
Yes, ma'am. I have a master's degree as well in science.
What he's asking is a waiver of the 3 years of experience, because, and I believe this is,
So can I ask Mr. Whitten about, in your letter to the board, it says that you've completed 2 years of supervised clinical laboratory work. Can you just explain what type of work that you are performing?
Yes, I'd be more than happy to. Thank you. This is Benjamin Whitten speaking. Actually, closer to about 2.5 years now, nearing this date. However, I've been working closely with our supervisor and performing many outside tests of our daily workflow, including plating samples, analyzing for hormones in print on the LCM. It's really my specialty. I've had several years of previous laboratory experience on the LCM, so that's really where I'm highlighted. But yes, I've really covered just about everything you can imagine in the lab, directly supervised and or in the R&D level, where it's not direct patient samples that I'm working with, just because, with CLIA regulations, really. But in addition to, my 2.5 years of clinical laboratory experience, and I thought it was important to mention that in this 2.5 years of clinical laboratory experience where I have been directly supervised, I have over 500 hours of overtime in the last 2.5 years. So I feel like that gives me, you know, a little extra experience. In addition to, I have 4 years of laboratory experience in a highly regulated laboratory by NEHAC. I'm not sure if you're familiar with those standards for EPA-regulated methods. So I was doing atmospheric air chemistry initially when I first graduated with my bachelor's. And then after I returned for my master's degree is when I got into the professional clinical laboratory. And then I moved forward from there to pass my medical technologist exam, where I found a lot of the stuff was very complementary to what I had worked on in the past professional laboratory.
Pardon the interruption. Please, just once again, if you'd like to sign out, there is no waiting line at this time. You can sit by the main office, and we will go ahead and sign you on if you're ready. Thank you.
Could you all please mute your lines? We hear your background noises. Thank you.
So can Ms. Wax explain, like, the information that's provided on page 73 in our agenda?
Yes, Mr. Whitten has submitted a petition for waiver with a previous application that you all have denied because you didn't accept his experience when you were looking at that application the last time. So the minutes of that prior meeting are included.
Thank you. You know, I guess my concern is that the laboratory, that the experience was not an approved training program. Do any of the other board members have any questions, concerns?
Well, this is Linda Valdez. My concerns do fall within the fact that experience is basically research, and he does have extensive experience in environmental testing, environmental chemistry testing, which does not equate to clinical laboratory testing. And again, his experience is mostly R&D.
That's not exactly true. I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is Ben.
Okay.
I do. We have sample states. Like, for example, like I said, I specialize on the LCMS, and that's why it transferred over so well from these accredited environmental laboratories. However, on the LCMS, we've been creating duplicate plates several times per week, and, you know, it allows me to fully get the hands-on, and we check these results compared to the day-to-day clinical lab samples. You know, it's just a duplicate plate, really. And we've been doing this for, at my last, I petitioned for the variant a year and a half ago, and over the last year and a half, I've continued you know, dedicated in the lab, working very closely with our, you know, trained laboratory personnel. And as a matter of fact, I've actually helped develop and implement many, many processes, including our hydrolysis, our sample dry down, optimize our analyte detection. And I've done all this, which our clinical staff was able to perform validations on and which they're trained to do. So I do disagree that is, you know, mostly environmental experience, because when it comes down to it, whether you're looking at an analyte on LCMS, whether it's environmental toxin or urinary hormone, when it comes down to it, the chromatography is very similar, and the quality control and quality assurance is all very strict, and I'm well-versed in that department. So I feel like taking my 8 years of professional laboratory experience since I've graduated with my bachelor's degree. Really, I'm just trying to accompany for not even quite 6 months of this training in the lab. So if you have any questions regarding this, you know, my 8 years of professional laboratory experience, I'd be happy to answer these questions, and, you know, I actually encourage you to ask these questions so we can clarify, because I know LCMS, I'm not sure if you're familiar with liquid chromatography and mass spec, but it is a very, very neat part of the clinical laboratory, where most clinical laboratories aren't even really implementing the LCMS in urinary hormones. So it does present a unique situation.
Dr. Spivey, is that all you had to add, Mr. Witten?
Regarding to establish the purpose of the underlying statute, yes, I do have more notes on, you know, how I would like to establish or approve that the requirements of this rule to my circumstance would, you know, violate principles of fairness as well as impose a substantial hardship on my situation.
Board members, do you have adequate information in the agenda to make a decision?
So, Mr. Witten, can you tell us if you're currently licensed at all on any level?
I have a medical technologist certification that's provisional status through AAD.
Okay, thank you.
And I've been at that status for about 2 years, close to 2 years now. I've been working as a provisional status where all my duties are required to be directly supervised. And as you might imagine, in the clinical laboratory, I'm by no means a new guy in the laboratory, and I actually help assist the other med tech license candidates or med tech license staff with many tasks and answers that they have questions for. And as you can might imagine, having all my duties directly supervised for, you know, the last 2.5 years has really imposed, you know, kind of hardship on myself, but also the lab. It just makes me unpromotable. I can't really, even though I'm more than capable of performing, you know, any task, obviously my specialty is in clinical chemistry, but I have a very good foundation in hematology, immunology, microbiology. I take courses at certified or accredited universities such as University of South Florida and Florida Atlantic University. You know, I'm familiar with a good foundation in molecular diagnostics, cytology, histology, so blood banking. None of this stuff is new to me at all. I'm very well versed, and you know, I proved that when I did pass the AAD examination as well. I would just really like you guys to please reconsider my 2.5 years of the clinical laboratory experience. In addition to, like I said, I have over 500 hours of overtime work outside of that, you know, the 40-hour work week job where I've gained, you know, a plethora of experience and knowledge and how the clinical laboratory works, as well as the duties and responsibilities of a medical technologist, which I am very confident performing. Beyond a doubt, and if you guys would choose to grant this variance, by no means would there be any harm to, you know, public safety or the welfare of public health or anything like that. Like I said, I am very familiar with the quality control assurances and the responsibilities of a medical technology.
Mr. Whitten, this is Deborah Love. When you were talking about the samples that you were doing concurrent with the clinical lab, were those human samples?
Yes, they were duplicate samples. It was just a makeup of the plate that we were running for our clinical day, and we had extra urine, personal or human urine samples were used. I studied matrix effects in depth, as well as ion suppression issues we've seen. And I know our lab has worked very closely with COLA and, you know, making sure we're setting standards for clinical laboratories doing hormone analysis on LCMS, because it's not the most common thing, and it's kind of cutting-edge technology as far as applying LCMS to urinary hormones.
Thank you. I just want to draw your attention to Rule 64, subparagraph E, which is the definition of pertinent clinical experience, and generally you don't count recent experience as appropriate experience.
I'm having difficulties hearing you. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's all right. Unless the research experience involves human subjects and use methodologies, quality control, and quality assurance techniques comparable to those in clinical labs, in that circumstance, then you are able to look at the research experience to decide whether it would meet the criteria of pertinent clinical experience.
This is Michelle Morgan. I would make a motion to deny the petition for variance.
Yes,
Liza Valdez, I second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
The clinical pertinent experiment. The board is making the decision that the applicants don't have the opportunity to deny or approve an application.
My apologies, Doctor.
Thank you.
Dr. Morgan, this is I don't see that hardship has been established to make the exception.
And you know that does not mess the purpose of the underlying statute by some other means.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Whitten, again, you'll also receive an order, and it will have the rights that you can exercise to challenge that order if you so choose.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought these years of professional experience would make up for 3 months of clinical laboratory experience. I'm just short 3 months here, and I'm at a very hardship. I'm struggling to, you know, stay employed with this company because they've been training me. I'm not able to complete any day-to-day tasks. And
Mr. Whitten, you may want, I can't give you any legal advice, but part of the other problem is you may want to see if the lab would be interested in giving you some sort of formal training program that you can get a training registration to work for so that the experience is found and not researched. You may want to explore that option with the board staff. Because the experience that you're getting, since you don't hold a license and you're doing kind of a clinical experience, so you may want to check that rule that I have cited to the board.
Next, we're going to move on to petitions with applications. Is Ms. Sherry Sterling present?
I am present. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd ask the board members to go to page 74 in their agenda for the information.
And does my petition have an application?
No, there was not an application.
I definitely paid for and submitted an application.
I would have to direct that question to board staff.
This is Dr. Spivey. We currently don't think there's an application on file, but we can check that after the meeting and get with you.
Would that affect my standing?
Since the board doesn't have the application before it today, they can't rule on the application. But since they denied the variance and waiver of the experience, the application would have to come back to the board at a future meeting, either another telephone conference call or at the next board meeting. I'm assuming we'd have to do another conference call since we have to take action on it within 90 days. Otherwise, if you did submit the application fees and you don't want to have the application come back before the board, you could always ask if you can withdraw it, and you would have to discuss with board staff if any of those fees are refundable.
Okay, Ms. Lance, you can go on with Ms. Sterling.
Okay, thank you. I reviewed her transcript, and on Ms. Sterling's transcripts, I see 11 hours of chemistry, 7 hours of biology. She did complete a NACLS-accredited program. And the NACLS-accredited program did not require 8 hours of biology. Ms. Sterling, would you like to add anything or share it with the board?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I would like to thank the board for considering my petition. As you already pointed out, I am a graduate of a NACLS accredited program, as well as having an MBA. And I would like to point out, I did submit a CV. I don't know if you had the opportunity to review it. In that, you can see that I have over 15 years of supervisory experience. And with this rule in Florida, it does not allow me to perform at a supervisory capacity that I've worked at for over 15 years. But ask the board to consider granting the petition based on experience.
Do any of the board members have questions for Ms. Sterling?
This is Deborah Larson. I have a question not for Ms. Sterling, but for the board members. It's my understanding that Ms. Sterling has a bachelor's degree in medical technology. So what difference, if any, is that as opposed to when you're just like doing the regular medical technology track where you're doing primarily the apply, you know, you're doing the background science and then doing the science part of it. But the bachelor's requirement more academic requirements.
May I speak to that if I could? This is Sherry Sterling.
Sure.
I know that the board has interpreted a lot of my coursework as applied science. I did want to point out just one example. For instance, MLS 325 that you'll see in my transcript is an immunology course that the board has interpreted as applied science. However, I also had the opportunity, if you look at my CV, to teach this course, and we actually go to the cellular level. It's not just based on applied science. We look at a various amounts of things on that, as well as cells of the specific and non-specific immune response, biology of the immune system, antigen and antibodies, cytokines. So it would be similar to what you would see of coursework that doesn't have the MLS prefix before it.
Ms. Johnson, this is Deborah. From looking at the transcript, she has enough chemistry hours and she's missing 4 biology hours, or are you not giving her credit for the...
I only saw one, but no, I'm inclined, because of the NACLS accredited program, it's out of, I mean, you know, I can see her dilemma, because if I graduated from a NACLS accredited program, you know, I could do this in any other state except Florida. And she has, you know, teaching experience, so I'm more inclined to accept the petition as she's, because she's presented it very well, and I agree with what she's written on page 78 and 79, and I think she's met, and I make a motion to approve her petition.
This is Steve Shelfer. Second.
There's a motion and it's been second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Congratulations, Ms. Sterling.
Ms. Benson, you have to take a separate vote on her application now.
Okay. For, would someone like to make a motion on her application?
This is Steve Shelfer. I make a motion to accept her application as a laboratory supervisor.
Carleen Van McCarter, a second. Thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? Okay, congratulations, Ms. Sterling.
Thank you so much, and thank you to the board for your consideration. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
And also, this talk is by the Ms. Sicklin on the agenda, board members on the record mentioned there's also a supervisor application petition on the agenda starting on page 2 for Mr. Ms. Nakadia Wardis Gillis.
Is Ms. Gillis present?
I am.
Okay, so let's look at the addendum agenda on page 2.
This is Linda Valdez. What page are we looking at again? I didn't catch. There's a lot of interference.
Page 2 on the addendum agenda.
For some reason I'm getting a lot of interference. I don't know if it's just background noise.
Again, this is Dr. Spivey. Any individuals that are just signing on, if you would please mute your line. And we realize you're on the phone, and when it's your time for the opportunity to meet with the board, we'll have you open your line so you can speak. But we need everyone to mute their lines that are not talking at this time to bring the background noise down. Thank you.
Thank you.
Board members, this is Deborah Austin. If I understand, and Ms. Gillis, you can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, her petition is to allow her to add the molecular pathology specialty to her supervisory license without the requisite exam. It appears that Ms. Gillis was one of the licensees who had molecular pathology added to their I don't know if it was her technologist or her supervisor license. Must have been her technologist license. And so now she's trying to upgrade to supervisor, and since she didn't take the molecular pathology exam and that specialty was added, she's asking the board to allow her to add that specialty supervisor license without having to take the other exam.
Ms. Gillis, would you like to address the board?
I apologize to the board in advance. I'm actually leaving the airport to go to a conference this weekend, so if you hear any background noise, my apologies. I'm sorry, I didn't catch who had spoken about my application, but she is correct. That is the reason why I'm petitioning the board.
And this is Carleen Van Sicklin, and I motion to grant the variance of waiver because when I reviewed the downloadable application for technologists, it still does include the matron. And so I'd like to make that in the form of a motion.
This is Linda Valdez, my second.
All those in favor of granting the petition for variance waiver, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed?
And I'm sorry. And this is Deborah. You would also need to have a motion on the application. And it's my understanding that that was the only issue with the application.
Right. This is Carleen Van Sicklin. I motion to approve her application for clinical laboratory supervisor.
This is Linda Valdez. I second.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Congratulations, Ms. Gillis, and enjoy your conference.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you to the board for accepting my petition. Have a great day.
Okay. Can I ask the board office, can we update the matrix to make it consistent with the current board rule?
This is Devalov, and we have to do that in conjunction with, we're going to be looking at the matrix rules later, so we'll make sure that that change gets done if it, now that I'm looking at it, I think, sorry. I think that the current rule, yeah, I don't know why it wasn't updated on the application, but we'll fix it because we're looking at that later today.
Mr. Anderson, we have a question. So anyone that has an application currently on file and would like to upgrade and add that molecular pathology as well, can we go ahead and move forward with just, adding it to their license?
So are we referring to desk supervisors?
Correct.
How many applications do you think that is?
I would say like a ballpark probably about 10.
What do the board members think?
This is Linda Valdez. I don't have a problem with that, since molecular for those individuals that have already five areas is basically redundant, because if they have all five areas, they can do anything using molecular technique. So I'm perfectly fine with that.
Okay. Any other members want to weigh in on the conversation?
The Steve Schaffer, I agree with that assessment of that, technology. It's just being applied to all areas of the laboratory these days.
So, Savannah, I think you have a consensus that it's fine.
Okay, we'll just go back and review all the files and all the ones that we have on file that requested the molecular pathology to be added with the generalist specialties. We'll go ahead and add them.
Okay, thank
you.
What
does that mean for technologists and supervisors, just for the record?
Only for the supervisors that are at technologists in all five areas.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Next on the agenda is Mr. Steve Charles, petition with an application, which can be found on page 97. Are you present?
I am present. Can you hear me, too?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, great.
Board members, this is Deborah Lunch. Mr. Charles has submitted a petition for variance and waiver, asking for a waiver of the 3 years of experience, or with the 6 months experience in each specialty area. He submitted an application for a technology license in the area of microbiology, and his petition that you can find on page 101 details some of the experience that he's had.
And this is Dr. Spivey. There's also additional information on Mr. Charles in the addendum starting on page 38.
Mr. Charles, would you like to address the board members?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. And thank you for this opportunity. But before I begin, if I may, I would like to acknowledge Mr. Austin Fletcher, if you guys are familiar with him. And that's because he has been putting up with me, asking so many questions back and forth, emailing, and processing my molecular pathology temporary license, and still managed to be courteous and professional. And I found that to be a very good trait and a person who works in the Department of Health. So as a sophomore in high school, I was very blessed to have had the incredible opportunity to be accepted to a very competitive and prestigious 8-week science summer program at the University of Florida. I was exposed to high-level research and even went on to win local science fair and competed with international students. Subsequently,
I was even more fortunate to have been able to continue research at the Cancer Genetics Complex the fall semester of my freshman year, which is a rare feat considering the percentage of competitive science majors that are at my university. So consequently, my plus 3 years of hard work paid off as I am published as a co-author, and the research paper that you guys should have on the NDA Venom, I think, and it was published in an article Target this year, and I understand that the clinical laboratory comprises an invaluable part of the solar health care provided to a patient. And I also believe that bench research does too, but the difference is, after looking at them very carefully, is accountability. And I demonstrate that by co-authoring a research paper. As you may well know, gaining authorship is no easy feat at all. And in addition to my detailed explanation, which I provided in the various variant statements submitted, my principal investigator, by norm, is also a professor. Thus, he possesses and must apply a high degree of ethical code, not only because of his title, but for this university to uphold the credibility of his field, the university, and his. And I was very blessed and felt honored when he placed a great deal of trust in me to conduct independent research for me to gain that authorship. This variant requested would serve the purpose of the underlying statute because my experiences demonstrate that I am competent to perform laboratory testing and report accurate and timely results. It also serves the purpose of the underlying statute because it demonstrates that it derives the greatest benefit from the inclusion of competency assessment in the laboratory and know that I can address the areas that I know I need to improve on, honestly, and that I am able to, and re-emphasizing that, I'm able to perform the test properly without supervision and know that when there is a problem with the test, that it must be solved. And that's in addition to the other ones that are common but still important, which is, you know, the technical skills and judgment, analytical decision-making process, being able to teach and train personnel, and in addition to communication and such. And this is why I'm requesting a variant for the microbiology. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the board members have any questions for Mr. Charles?
This is Linda Valdez. Mr. Charles, so you hold a temporary license in molecular pathology?
Yes, ma'am.
But you're seeking microbiology.
Yes.
I'm
just excited.
Okay. I understand. Continue. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yes.
You were saying?
And because I have an opportunity to continue more research, but it's in the clinical laboratory rather than bench research, and I am at a teaching hospital that they have to be strict, and which makes sense. There's a great reason why they have to be to uphold their credibility and such. And the molecular pathology is not enough because the microbiology of lab and the microbiology technologist would grant me entry into that to be able to work there on my portfolio.
Thank you. All
right. Pat McCarter, Mr. Charles, have you been employed since graduated in 2015? What has your job been?
Yes, that's really funny to use that. It has been a tough year for me, specifically because I did not know all of these, I wouldn't say restrictions, but all of these certain checklist that I had to have to be, become a technologist, because I thought that maybe I would be applying for as many jobs and research as possible. And when I finally got an opportunity, which is, you know, to work there and the pay would be great, I was hit with that. And so to answer your question, I've been teaching students at my university, tutoring and Ubered a little bit, and while also to gain more knowledge as I continue, I took classes, specifically my last class, because I wanted to make sure that I'm up into my game. My last class is, my latest class is Microbiology, Immunology, and Basis for Immunotherapeutics. And the book that we used was Basis of Medical Microbiology, and I signed an A in that, and that was a very difficult, very competitive course. And I took it not because I could afford it, because both of my parents are in Haiti, and I support them financially, but I took it because I thought, I took these courses because I thought it would be a good investment for my future going forward, but I took down some loans. But then I found out that I need the research, I need more research experience and training experience, and I said, okay, I have research experience already, and I can prove that, but, you know, and that's why I was so happy that you guys have this opportunity where you can actually detail and prove that you are competent enough, which is obviously this right here, being able to submit a variant.
This is Charlene Van Sicklin. Mr. Charles, are you aware that in Gainesville there is a clinical laboratory science program that will enable you to train in microbiology in order to meet the rule?
Yes, I am aware of that, and that's the Santa Fe College. And
correct.
I looked into your website. It's one of the listed accredited laboratories, and there are two things. There are two problems with that. That unfortunately did not work out. One, it's a four-year program, and getting that it's a four-year program that awards a generalist. And because I only needed microbiology, that's not something that is feasible, as I was told. I would have to go through the four-year program. So that's like another 4 years of just for me to get a job as a microbiologist technologist.
Are you also aware of one-year training programs in the state of Florida?
I am also aware of that, and I am also aware of that, but there's the location. For me, I would have to relocate, which would be fine, but then you're looking at the expenses. Now, I take care of myself. As I said, I am the only one here in the United States, both of my parents and Haiti. So I've already have a setup here where I have my place and a potential opportunity an opportunity to work, and so I didn't think that would be to the best advantage for me to relocate to get a 1 year. In addition to the fact that I have the research skills that are that directly translate to that specific field of work that I want to do. I did not detail my financial hardship statement, because I thought that my competence is, you know, that's what I needed to show. That will be more relevant.
Do any of the other board members have questions for Mr. Charles? Mr. Charles, do you have something you'd like to add?
I mean, I could go on for I could go on too.
No, that's fine. It just sounded like you wanted to say something else.
No, it's fine.
This is Dr. Spivey. I just wanted to say, Mr. Charles, thank you for those comments, Mr. Fletcher. I appreciate that.
I'd like to give credit where it's due.
This is Carlene Van Sicklin. I motion to deny the petition of variance for failure to demonstrate that the rule affects him in a manner significantly different than it affects any other applicant.
May I?
I second that, Michelle Morgan.
And this is Deborah. I was just going to second, does that also include that he hasn't met the purpose of the underlying statute by other means?
That's correct.
Thank you.
So there's both.
May I ask something?
Sure.
May you please elaborate how and what manner did I not demonstrate that I serve the underlying purpose?
Mr. Charles, again, I would, since you're asking for a waiver of the training and experience, I would direct you to Rule 64B3-2.003, subparagraph 8, that describes the pertinent clinical laboratory experience. And remember, this is a clinical laboratory license, not a research license. You'll get an order that sets out the grounds that the board is going to, if this motion and vote succeeds, and it will give you it'll let you tell your rights and how you can challenge that order.
So currently there's a motion on the floor and it has been seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed. Now we need to act on the petition. Mr. Charles, since we've denied your petition of variance, would you like to withdraw your application?
No, I do not wish to. Because all of the testing that are done in the clinical microbiology laboratory, they are essentially the same or a variant of what I have done. Mr. Charles,
this is Deborah Love. The board's already voted to deny your petition for variance and waiver, and so what they're considering now is your application. Most likely, since you don't have the training and experience component of the requirement for the application, they'll most likely deny it because you don't meet the requirements for licensure. Ms. Van Sicklin was offering you the opportunity to withdraw your application because if the vote goes forward and they do vote to deny it, then on any future or subsequent applications to this board or any other board with the department, you would have to answer affirmatively to the question, have you ever had a license application denied? While it may or may not have an impact on a future board, it would delay the process of approving the application if you meet all the other requirements. So it's up to you if you want to deny it or not, but the board is just going to then proceed on reviewing the application if there are other grounds to deny it other than your training and experience, since they've already dealt with that.
Ms. Van Sicklin, one moment. He has an open application for molecular pathology as well and the microbiology. Now, he has a temporary for the molecular pathology. The microbiology will be the one that we wouldn't add that specialty for.
That's correct.
Okay, just making sure.
Yes, it does not affect his temporary license for molecular, just the microbiology.
Okay, thank you.
So, quick question. Moving forward, withdrawing the application, does that allow me to still provide more evidence of my competency to do the research in a clinical laboratory?
This is Deborah Love. If you want to submit additional documentation regarding your experience, you can do that in the challenging of the petition for variance and waiver. If you withdraw the application now, if you withdraw the application now and then you present the evidence for the variance and waiver later,
then you may you have to submit another application at that time.
Let me check.
But if you want the board to go ahead and vote on the application, keep them all together. It's totally up to you.
All right. I will call
on the Mr. Charles, can you repeat that? You were
I said I will withdraw the application and gather more evidences and to demonstrate my competency to work in a clinical laboratory.
And Deborah, this is Deborah Lyons. Board members, if you could have a motion on whether to accept the withdrawal.
This is Carlene Van Sicklin. I motion to accept his withdrawal of the application.
Linda Valdez, I second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Let's take one more before we go to break. The next petition with application is Dr. Robert Williams. His application can be found on page 39. Are you present?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Page 39 of the addendum agenda.
Board members, Dr. Williams has filed a petition for variance and waiver from the examination requirement. Dr. Williams, have you not taken the exam? I had thought that I had read that you were scheduled to take it.
And yes, I filed the petition for waiver on May 18th, and I was notified by the NRCC on June 1 that my application was approved. So I do have an exam scheduled. At this time, I would like to withdraw my petition for waiver and request a review of my director's application for licensure in clinical chemistry.
Thank you. I make a motion to accept the withdrawal of his variance waiver.
This is Michelle Morgan. I second that.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Thank you. So you said you have been approved by NRCC to sit for your certification exam. That's correct?
Yes, that's correct. I'm excuse me, Russell Pfeiffer, the executive director, sent a letter to myself and to Kelly Woodard with your department, and I can read it verbatim. Robert Williams has applied for Florida licensure and has asked me to confirm to you that he is qualified for the NRCC clinical chemistry certification. His application was approved based on his meeting the education and experience requirements. He is scheduled to take the examination on May 23rd, 2017 at the University of South Florida Testing Services Center. Sincerely, Russell Pfeiffer.
Thank you very much. This is Carlene Van Sicklin. I motion to issue his temporary license as the Director of Clinical Chemistry.
This is Linda Valdez. I second.
All those in favor,
This is Daryl. Just for the record, you're basically approving this application contingent on him passing the exam?
Correct.
Okay.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? Hey, congratulations, Dr. Williams.
Thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. At this time, I'd like to take like a 15-minute break, and we'll be back at 10:45.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.